News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
On this 24th anniversary of 9/11, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I mentioned this earlier this morning. I think the first time we talked about the Kirk assassination, yesterday when we put our book bags up and headed off for the day, we thought this morning would be about a terrorist attack, but that was from 24 years ago, the one in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, and New York City, of course, 9/11. Yes, we have talked about that this morning, but another terrorist attack was about to unfold right in front of us yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, and so we're in a place where today you have 9/11 memorials taking place all across the country, and last night and today, Charlie Kirk vigils held all across the country, and just an absolutely terrible day for many, many people yesterday who, even if they didn't follow Charlie Kirk day in and day out, like I know thousands and thousands of people do and did, they respected what he meant and what he stood for and the ability he had to really share the essence of conservatism that I feel that so many young people never even really had the opportunity to hear or understand, especially in so many of these very liberal high schools and colleges they would go to. And Kirk, in a way, even though I wouldn't say he was the coolest guy out there, made it cool in so many ways to have conservative values and why he was targeted, I believe. And we'll see. You know, there's all kinds of theories about who exactly it was that assassinated him yesterday and why they would do it. And there's many different quote-unquote enemies that you could guess would have been behind it. Mm-hmm. But because he held such sway among the youth and was a vital, vital part of MAGA and getting Trump elected, not just in 2024, but back in 2016. He was on the Trump train very early.
Yeah.
Even if he
didn't, young man.
Yeah, even if he didn't agree with Trump all the time.
No, and he didn't.
And he did not, no.
And when he didn't agree with Trump, he would say it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about his assassination, Charlie's words, his beliefs, and his work was so consequential in Trump's success and in maybe even larger than that, conservative movement's acceptance and success. But Charlie Kirk was so misrepresented by legacy media.
Mm-hmm.
There's a portion of this nation that really can't grieve about the goodness that was Charlie Kirk because they're told he was no good.
Yeah.
They're told that he was on campus. I mean, even today, even as far up to yesterday, there were people that were protesting, not as many, but there were people that, student groups that would almost on cue say, no, we can't have Charlie Kirk mm-hmm. on our, and you remember what that was like back in the teens. I mean, he was painted as a demon by much of the legacy media.
Yes.
And that's really a shame.
And that played, I believe, a major role in this, in the hatred that so many people feel towards Kirk.
When no you doubt.
Use the terms like they do for so many popular conservatives, Nazi, Hitler, white supremacist, which even after his death yesterday, people just throwing those terms around, that certainly played a role in this. And as many of you have pointed out, even on MSNBC's immediate coverage afterwards, still no empathy shown, no looking back at the rhetoric used by so many on the left that may have played and probably, in my opinion, played a pretty big role in what happened yesterday. He is so close to the Trump family. And reading back about when, I mean, Kirk got involved and had was on a mission, on such a mission that he didn't even go to college. He knew what he wanted to do was found this group, Turning Point USA. And so many people have already pointed out just the name of that action group, Turning Point. Yesterday was a turning point.
Yep.
And we don't know where it will turn towards. Yeah. But for him to have that mind to be on that mission and to follow through over the last 15 or so years, but he grew close to the Trump family, I think starting with Trump Jr. And then I believe, you know, anytime he would call, the president would probably pick up, and obviously vice versa. So many people were waiting to see what Trump's response would be to all of this yesterday. And after he was the one who broke the news that Kirk had indeed died at the hospital after being rushed there after that shooting, later last night, 8:15 p.m. Central Time, the president put out a four-minute video statement from the Oval Office. We'll play that in its entirety right now.
To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight, all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and the country that he loved so much, the United States of America. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there's never been anyone who was so respected by youth. Charlie was also a man of deep, deep faith. And we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven. Our prayers are with his wife, Erica, the two young, beloved children, and his entire family who he loved more than anything in the world. We ask God to watch over them in this terrible hour of heartache and pain. This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate. His mission was to bring young people into the political process, which he did better than anybody ever, to share his love of country and to spread the simple words of common sense. On campuses nationwide, he championed his ideas with courage, logic, humor, and grace. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country. From the attack on my life in Butler, Pennsylvania last year, which killed a husband and father, to the attacks on ICE agents, to the vicious murder of a healthcare executive in the streets of New York, to the shooting of House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and three others, radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people and taken too many lives. Tonight, I ask all Americans to commit themselves to the American values for which Charlie Kirk lived and died, the values of free speech, citizenship, the rule of law, and the patriotic devotion and love of God. Charlie was the best of America, and the monster who attacked him was attacking our whole country. An assassin tried to silence him with a bullet, but he failed, because together we will ensure that his voice, his message, and his legacy will live on for countless generations to come. Today, because of this heinous act, Charlie's voice has become bigger and grander than ever before, and it's not even close. May God bless his memory. May God watch over his family. and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
That was the Trump address last night, and really well done, I believe. And I believe he's hurting. I believe.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. It's amazing that he can. It's amazing that he has got the fortitude to even, you know, I know it's his job. He says, well, Charlie's gone now. I've got to speak out on this. I'm the president of the United States, but you talk about a guy whose plate is more than full, and now this.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Kirk probably, you can't read into a relationship, who knows, but if Trump had someone outside of his family that he would almost consider another son, I would guess it would be Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, he'd probably be in the running for sure.
And I was thinking, who raised Charlie Kirk? And there's not much out there on them. His mother is a mental health counselor outside of Chicago. His father, Robert W. Kirk, ran his own architectural firm, but he evidently has passed away. So, you know, you look at somebody that young, that talented, that driven, that smart, that kind, you think, who raised this kid, you know? And so that's the little that I know about Charlie Kirk's parents, but well, he was raised independently in the way that at 18 he decided college is not for me. I don't like the way this is going. I think we need actually the opposite out there. So I'm not going to sit around and look for it or wait for it. I'm going to create it.
Yeah. He was an incredible person, obviously. I think they were really upset with me earlier the way I said this, but as far as figures on the right to assassinate, and Kirk was definitely an important, very important piece of the MAGA movement, but there are many more people on the right that aren't as kind as Charlie Kirk. And the way that he would put himself, and I think I read something a security expert said, you know, I told Kirk that his rallies, his events, I guess less than rallies, they were events because they weren't really rallying. He would invite people who opposed him to the front of the line to debate in good faith. And where he put himself on these campuses was the most public place you could be, which was the least secure places you could be. And I think he had people telling him, hey, man, this is a really dangerous thing you're doing. But he kept showing up, and he was starting this new tour. And he felt it was more important to do it the way he has been doing it for over a decade than it was to be incredibly safe and behind bulletproof glass and in a enclosed arena, because he felt that his message would be heard that much more clearly and that he would be able to get his point across better the way he did. The courage it takes to just do that, especially when you know you're a marked man. He knew he was a marked man.
Unfairly so.
And I don't, you know, I consider myself an emotional roller. I consider that myself that I go on emotional roller coasters. People I know say that I don't appear that way.
You really don't.
I really rarely get sad enough that I cry. And it's so rare for me that I can remember exactly, you know, the last few times I have. And it got me yesterday. I'll say that. The last three times I've really been upset enough that I've cried. Uvalde, after that Texas school shooting,
yep,
that just absolutely gutted me. And so much of that was having young children, which I still have, and just thinking about that at the time. When my grandpa passed away,
that was a great morning for all of us in that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's pay tribute to him. You took the time to talk about him on the air. Otherwise, none of us would have ever known the things about him that we now know.
Yeah, and
your grief led you to actually giving the rest of us quite a favor.
So I cried at his funeral, and he loved, I'm sure, Charlie Kirk. I mean, he definitely loved what Charlie Kirk stood for. And then yesterday, just the fact that he's 31, or was 31, right there in my age group. I mean, my brother turns 32 tomorrow.
He just had a baby.
Charlie Kirk had two children. I think 1 and 3. Is that the ages?
Yeah, I'm here 1 and 4, 1 and 3.
A beautiful wife who just put a post on Instagram before he died. It was just an amazing post. If we have time, I'll try to read it. It got me. And when I was watching Megyn Kelly and Glenn Beck, who were recording, they were live together when the news came down that he had passed away. That was just too much. It really got to me yesterday. The fact that this human being, this kind human being, if you hear the stories, that would put himself out there, and he let you know where he stood on topics, but he gave you the opportunity to talk back, that he would be one targeted and killed in front of over 3,000 people on this campus. Absolutely gut-wrenching. And anger, I'm angry too.
Sure.
Right now, sadness overwhelms the anger, but I'm sure so many other people are feeling the same way.
Yeah.
We have a ton of texts, and we'll get to those here. We do have to take a quick break, but we'll get right into the text, because so many of you have texted this morning about this.
You know, I watched last night, who I decided to take a look at was Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
And Cuomo knew Charlie Kirk pretty well through Patrick Bet-David,
mm-hmm,
and that show, that podcast. And he was very emotional. He was very lost on the air. He was really very, very sad. And I think that a lot of people who speak on politics publicly, including people who are influencers or people that are more network like Cuomo, it doesn't matter. I think they're all shocked and saddened by what happened because of the vulnerability that we all feel in our lives. Not necessarily me or you, but those people at that level are, mm-hmm, like, I need security nearly anywhere I go.
Yeah.
It is 8:23 with Dan and Dalton. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Quickly to the text line. Cody says, my biggest issue with Charlie's death was the celebration that came right after it. Liberals are becoming a virus. That's from Cody, who also says, it also hurts my heart that his family will always have that footage out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the footage I really did not watch.
I did. I don't know if it's ever a good thing. Certainly maybe a necessary thing, but watched the footage of the poor 23-year-old Ukrainian woman getting stabbed in Charlotte. Watched that yesterday quite a bit, and awful. We're in that day and age. You know, we're 24 years after 9/11, something we all watched all day long when that happened. And now, right after someone's assassinated, you get clear, crystal clear footage. Mm. It's tough not to watch. I don't know what effect it'll have on everyone who watches that kind of thing in the long run. This texter talking about friends that are crying over the death, and also friends that are happy over it. And I don't, that's how polarizing, I guess, Kirk is. And for people to act like that wasn't happening on Blue Sky, on Twitter, I'm sure on Facebook, there were people gloating after Kirk was assassinated yesterday.
Crazy.
Backstrap, yesterday got to me as well. My heart hurts for his wife and children. Charlie was a great soldier for Christ, and he deserved better than what happened yesterday. He was someone who was set to change the world for the better, and he's gone at 31. Texter here, we have to leave room for the motive to not be political, but for the reaction it causes. I don't think they're any closer to finding the shooter. If they are, they haven't really announced that yet. He was in a position with such little security. I think the campus police said they had 6 officers in the immediate vicinity, 3,000 people at least out there for that event. The shooter on a rooftop about 130 meters away is what I saw. And right now, it appears he was able to make it pretty far away. Hopefully they get him. Cody, no, you read that one. Let's see.
Yeah.
Something, text here, something I thought about on the way home yesterday. Charlie would do anything to watch his son strike out in baseball or his daughter miss a goal in soccer, and here I am getting frustrated over such things. That thought kicked my butt, humbled. Yeah, yesterday, another one of those days. I was way too happy to see my children walk through the door.
We got it.
Just happy enough, I guess I should say.
Day like yesterday, you've got to take something good from it. It's 8:30.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:34 on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. And it is a Thursday. It means we talk with our friend Rob Holbert with Lanyap. You can read it online like I do, lanyapmobile.com, because they have news stories coming out not just every day, but throughout every day. And Rob's on with us this morning. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
We're doing all right. And I know another packed issue edition of Lanyap. And he waited until after our conversation last week, because I know this has been one of your maybe not favorite topics. That wouldn't be fair to say that, because you don't like it. That's why you're talking about it. But the blight, the blight downtown.
Yeah.
Mayor Stimson with a press release, and then speaking with the press on Friday, and following through, or trying to follow through with this plan to penalize those who own vacant buildings or just buildings they aren't taking care of properly downtown.
I know. It feels like that's been 2 weeks ago. There's been so much going on. But, it's something they're trying to do before he leaves office and to get something in place to help fight blight inside the Hank Aaron Loop, which is it's a huge issue down there. And, I mean, if you're not familiar with downtown or you don't come downtown very often – and you wonder, why does downtown not have, you know, you go to Pensacola or you go to some other places and walk around and you see their downtown, you see all this retail and not a bunch of vacant buildings and boarded up stuff. And you think, well, why is that the case there but not in Mobile? And I think that's one of the biggest problems we have is the fact that there are boarded up, burned out buildings all over the place that are just allowed to be that way. And this hopefully will help alleviate that. But it remains to be seen how tough the city will be if it passes, which I assume it will. But, you know, how tough is the city going to get on this? That's the real question.
And Kyle Hamrick had a good write-up of this right after the mayor made the announcement. And so the actual rules here they're looking to kind of install here, they want to make sure that owners of these buildings have proof of liability insurance. They have to register with the city, a fire protection system, and so much of that discussed after that 2023 blaze, which I think we were actually really fortunate that didn't spread, if I remember.
Very fortunate that didn't burn down a whole block. You know, that really is one of the things I think the impetus for some of this is that exact thing. That building caught fire and really could have wiped out the entire block.
Is it legal for the city to do this? I mean, are there going to be legal challenges from the owners? Like, say, hey, wait a minute, why are you picking on me?
Dan. I mean, it's perfectly legal. And I mean, you know, everywhere you go, you can't have burned out cars in your front yard. Those types of things. I mean, that's not a legal issue. I'm sure somebody will challenge it, but. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be an issue. And, you know, the requirements that people have to have some fire suppression systems, or they have to have running water in the building, that they have to have, you know, that it have to have lighting out there. You know, some of the things have to make it so that first responders can get in and out without, you know, having to rip off a bunch of plywood. So there's some things there, I think, that, you know, it's one of those deals where your rights are your rights, but when they start impeding everybody else's rights, I mean, you know, when you've got a burned out building right next door to yours, that nobody's taking care of, that's endangering your property as well. Yeah. I mean, all those buildings touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if somebody next to you has a place that has homeless in it and access and that people can just go in there and do whatever and stay there and set fires, it's really a danger to you. And it's hurting downtown as a whole.
And, you know, Councilman Carroll, he after noting last week, he's free to speak out now that he lost that election. We'll get to the latest on that here in a little bit. But he was asking, I guess, at council or the pre-council meeting, you know, why is it just the Hank Aaron Loop? Why don't we do this for the entirety of the city? Why are you singling them out? And Chief of Staff Barber, one of those who came up and said it's because of how dense it is downtown, kind of like what you just said there, that all of these properties are connected in many cases, and one bad property owner could spell really bad news for those who are taking care of their properties.
I mean, I would agree with Carol on that, though. I mean, I think we've got a blight problem across the city. I mean, there's a lot of buildings that are just allowed to go into complete disrepair and sit there for years, and you know, that creates a big problem. But I think it's also easiest to start downtown because the density of the issue is really great right there. And so let's get that going and figure it out. But I certainly would love to see it move elsewhere.
Yeah, downtown's kind of a welcoming center for many people. It's the only part of the town they ever see. If they come down to the hotel district or they're here for one reason or another, they will leave Mobile with an idea of what Mobile is from what they saw downtown.
Yeah, they will. And I mean, look, there's some pretty big names of the people that own these places that have just sat there forever. And, you know, they've been pointed out over and over again and just don't do anything with it. And I think it's time to do this. And, you know, the questions of whether they will do it. I mean, yes, they're supposed to join a registry. They're supposed to do these things. The fines for that are not huge, but there is, it does carry with it a potential misdemeanor and up to a year in jail. So, I mean, if somebody wants to get really tough, if the city wants to get really, really tough with somebody who's not going to comply, they can do it.
Talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, latest edition on Stands Down. Of course, you can sign up online at lanyapmobile.com. That's highly encouraged. Speaking of Councilman Carroll, following through with his challenge for the election win for Samantha Ingram, he wants it to be looked into whether she had the residency requirements met in order to run for City Council District 2, which she won without a runoff. And he's paid the $25,000 to follow through with this. But you guys are reporting that, you know, after all this goes down, if there is another special election set, it might work out that Ingram would have then met the residency requirements.
Yes. So the argument he's making is that, you know, she should be banned from that. You know, the race should be vacated, a special election called, and that she should be banished from being able to be in the second race. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there would be any. I don't know what the legal reasoning for that would be to say that she couldn't run again. But by the time a race would take place, it has to be 60 days, at least 60 days after it is vacated. It still hasn't been vacated. So, I mean, you're looking at late December at the earliest. If all of this hinges on her vote in in Georgia on November 5th of last year, then she could probably say, hey, I established a residency in Mobile on November 6th of last year. So she would be past that time, and it would look like we would just be doing the same thing over again. I mean, I agree in many ways that we should have to, this should be taken care of ahead of time. And we should really have somebody that is tasked with making sure that residency issues are taken care of before the election. That said, Councilman Carroll knew about this months ago. He's known about it for a long time. Everybody's known about it. We wrote about it months ago. This is not a new issue. He should have filed suit back then, in my opinion. This just to me looks like we're going to waste a whole bunch of time if it happens, which I don't think the judge is going to agree with him. But if it does, if she does agree with him, then we're going to have to have a new election to have the same election. And I don't know. It just seems like a massive waste of time. I think the bigger issue is, can we prevent this from going on in the future? Because it does happen all the time.
Yeah.
There are people who run for office all the time who don't live where they say they live, or that, you know, it's all these residency issues that have not been figured out. You know, she has a house in the district. It's not an issue of that. But the issue is, did she go vote in Georgia?
Yeah.
But she's
got 5 days. I saw the attorney, Carroll's attorney, say she has 5 days to respond in some way.
Yeah.
I mean, in 5 days, to respond in what way? What does she have to do?
My guess, Dan, is that the response is going to be, my feeling is it's going to be, the argument's going to be, we did not break any laws in Alabama. That's going to be my guess.
Okay.
That, you know, and it's going to be an issue of, did she do anything illegal here? And I don't think so. If she did something illegal in Georgia and went up there and voted, that's really a Georgia issue. I don't think those two are going to cross legally. It's just my guess. But, you know, we'll see. I don't think she's going to get bumped out because of this. Okay. And, you know, the reality of it is he got beat. He, last time when he ran against LaVon Manzi in the general election, Manzi got 47% of the vote. Carroll got 23%. And there was a runoff because of a third candidate, and Manzi died. And so Carroll won fairly over LaVon Manzi, who was not alive at that point. I don't think his popularity in the district has waned. Let me just say that. I don't think he's very popular in the district, and I don't think he's going to win a special election if she's back in it.
Oh, the numbers bear that out.
Yeah, and we'll be following that story, and you guys will be reporting on it, whatever comes up next, and you'll follow it all the way through, just like you have been. This police-involved shooting happened back in 2017, and now back before the public eye with 35-year-old Jonathan Victor. Kind of explain what's going on this week there, Rob.
So Jonathan Victor was driving along I-10 back in 2017, had a one-car accident along I-10. He was acting very disoriented, and eventually police showed up. There was some discussion about whether he had a gun or not, and he ended up being shot to death on the side of the road, unarmed. He was carrying a fanny pack in his hand. The sheriff, Hoss Mack at the time, and the deputy both sought qualified immunity, which basically means they can't be sued. Mm-hmm. The sheriff was given qualified immunity. The deputy, Hunnity, has not been given that. And so Jonathan Victor's mother is suing him for at least $6 million plus punitive damages. And that's what this is. It's in federal court. It's been winding around in the appellate court for about 3 years, and it's back, and this, and the case is going on right now. We've been covering it. It's pretty fascinating stuff. And I even had a sheriff on the stand the other day for the plaintiff. He was a guy that was involved with catching Ted Bundy. And so, I mean, it's just like the back and forth has been pretty fiery.
And you guys are doing a great job covering that. I'm reading Scott Johnson's work throughout this trial. If folks want to do the same, I encourage them to sign up online. It's really easy to do at lanyapmobile.com, and well worth it. But you also have those new editions on stands.
Yeah, you can go to the purple boxes and find what we have this week. But go to Lanyap Daily. Go to lanyapmobile.com, sign up for Lanyap Daily. We call it daily because it is daily. There's stuff all day long going on. It's 30 cents a day, folks. Hey, you're saving yourself 30 cents a day by not doing it. And so, you're missing out on a lot of news.
Rob, quickly, the story that we're dealing with all morning and will be for some time, just your thoughts on the what appears clearly a political assassination of Charlie Kirk yesterday in Utah.
Well, I mean, I think it's horrible that any of this kind of stuff happens. And I'm really appalled that we are at this point in our public debate that people are getting shot for their beliefs and what they're saying. I'm appalled to see people I know online issuing veiled threats and hopes that there's violent backlash and that kind of thing as well. I think it's just, it's horrible. We don't need that. It doesn't do anything but spiral upwards, and it doesn't solve anything.
Appreciate your time, Rob.
Yeah, and Rob, I know, as a free speech advocate, which I know you are 100,000%,
of course,
and you've got the you draw ire. I mean, you draw ire when you do some of these stories. There's no doubt about that. And I know you've had things directed towards you. Just the fact that Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of people don't agree with his political beliefs, but that he put himself out there all in the name of free debate. I think that really hitting home for a lot of people today.
I hope so. I hope some people are paying attention to that thought process, and that understanding that what they're angry about, that someone being killed for their beliefs, is the same thing on the other side as well. This is not a they're bad, we're great debate. It's an issue of freedom of speech in this country, and doing that without the threat of being killed. And I mean, it's a horrible thing that happened. And, we'll find out who did it, hopefully, at some point. But I mean, it's really, I'm not saying it doesn't matter who did it. I'm saying, but it is, just regardless, this kind of stuff shouldn't happen on either side.
Thank you, Rob. We appreciate it. We'll check back with you next week, and encourage folks to go to lanyapmobile.com today and get signed up. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Rob Holford with Lanyap Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. I guess maybe that text line can take us home. We'll take a look at what's going on there. Straight ahead, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Also, we'll preview the Jeff Force Show that's coming up a little after 9.
A52 coming to the texts and phones here in a minute. 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by Underdog. Football's back, and Underdog, the best place to select entries and win money all season long. You can play right now in Alabama. It's easy to play. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. That's obviously for the beautiful game of football. They have all the sports there at Underdog, though, and you can really mix and match the players in your entry regardless of what sport or team they are on. And the more players you add to your entry, the more money you could win. You could actually win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you could play with as little as $1. Some more NFL tonight. You have Washington playing at Green Bay, so a good time to download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. It's promo code Dalton. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. And if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
It's on the text line, 251-343-0106. As far as the blight, downtown Mobile. Brandon, we entered this yesterday. Where is the Hank Aaron Loop? Hank Aaron Loop is when you're going downtown from whatever corridor you're taking downtown, Dolphin Street, let's say. Once you get to Broad Street, you're there at the Hank Aaron Loop. That would be Broad. Anything from on Broad to Government and in, and from Broad when you get to water, everything that is inside that loop right there would be considered downtown.
Gardner says, I wonder how many of those that are so violently opposed to Charlie Kirk ever watched his videos to right. know the truth.
Yeah.
Or are they just following party lines and liberal media?
He was definitely misrepresented by legacy media. Definitely.
Butterknife says, we're too partisan. It's only going to get worse. The more partisan we become, Democrats and Republicans at one point were friends. Well, I mean, you have two groups that are diametrically opposed right now in their vision of the future of America. And in my opinion, one of those groups stands for what I've always believed America stood for. And that's what Charlie Kirk would go out and say, that, you know, we're based on family, and we're based on Christ in so many ways. And he would go out and debate, and even if you were atheist, even if you were far-left liberal, he would have that conversation, put you to the front of the line, and I believe, for the most part, I didn't watch all the Kirk stuff, do it without malice.
Yeah.
And he was assassinated for that.
Yeah.
And there were people gloating about it yesterday.
Yeah, and you could have predicted it. C.B. Carl says, the sad thing about Kirk's assassination is the loss of the hope for salvation that he was working on bringing to this sadly rudderless nation.
Let's go to the phone lines and talk with Pete Ream. Hey, Pete.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing this morning?
It could be better. Could be better. Yesterday, yes. Really tough day. And today, the anniversary of 9/11, also very tough day.
Yeah. No, I think the people are livid. They're incensed. They're infuriated. And I'm sorry I had to call in after listening to Rob. I know he's a journalist, and he's trying to pretend to be in the middle and all that stuff. But that mealy-mouthed rhetoric about, oh, it's not about we're bad, we're good, and they're bad, and it's just about censorship. He's right, it's about censorship. It's about violent censorship. It's about enforcing silence on those that you dissent, and if you disagree and you speak up, we will kill you. We will cancel you. That's what it's about, and that is bad. That part is. And we need, and that was shown in spades yesterday, how they gloated, how they reveled, they celebrated, they mocked a death. You never see that. They always say, well, both sides do it. That's BS. It doesn't come from both sides. The conservatives or the right wing or the Republicans, which are all poor labels, they always extend their condolences. They always extend genuine care and concern when anybody is sick or injured or killed, no matter what they are. But the left, the Democrats, always celebrate. They go, I saw one lady post, well, don't think of it like a death. Just think of it like relief from pain from these people. What we need to recognize is it is about good and evil. That was evil yesterday. And yes, we want to have Democrat friends, but they need to realize that they embrace evil. They want to destroy this country. You just said it. They have a completely different view of this nation, and they want to destroy the republic. They want to destroy liberty, and they want tyranny. And they're doing it through chaos, anarchy, and evil. And we need to reject those that embrace it. The Democrats, and there are a very few that will stand up and say, condemn this and say this is horrible and at least stand with a decency, we should embrace those. The rest, we should oppose vehemently and reject them and ridicule them and ostracize them.
Great points, Pete. And not only that, whenever the right offers thoughts and prayers when something like this happens, mocked by the left for that. And then yesterday in D.C., calling for a public prayer and shouted down in the congressional chambers there.
In Congress, just completely went, just mayhem, when all they asked for was to stop and have a prayer for Charlie Kirk, and they couldn't.
They just showed you how vile they are.
Yeah, thanks.
How vile they are.
Well, they were definitely vile. Those folks that yesterday in Congress, I saw that clip.
Despicable.
It was bad.
Jeff Porcio on the way next. He'll have Travis Johnson with Pathway Church on in hour number one. April Marie Fogel in hour two, from the College Republican Federation of Alabama. Riley McCardle, and then former Representative Parker Griffith, all on the Jeff Poor Show today in just minutes.
Feinbaum on Football Friday tomorrow, 8 o'clock on Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.